Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast radio broadcast, and we come to you from Kenya today. Beautiful, hot, sunny day, blue sky today, and we thank the Lord we were able to work out at the farm today, building a wall, a security wall, and we've got a lot of projects going. We're going to be starting on a new church there in Makunda Village, just about 100 meters from where our children's home is. We bought a quarter acre of land 2 weeks ago, and so we're going to be able to start on a new church, and that's an exciting development. I pray that you would all come alongside this ministry and help support this ministry. We've got a crusade lined up in Mwanza in Tanzania at the end of February, and also a big conference up in Busia, north of here, about 1 hour, 1.5 hours, and there's going to be a four-day conference. We're going to be participating in that, preaching a couple of conference sessions each day, and so there's a lot going on here in the ministry, and we invite you to participate and come alongside this ministry with your prayers and support. Well, today we're going to be wrapping up our series of messages from the book of Joshua. And Joshua, as you know, is now leading the children of Israel. Moses, Joshua's mentor and the one who led the children out of Israel, Moses has now died, and Joshua has taken up the mantle. He's taken up the torch of Moses, and so now he is in the promised land, and the battles are starting to take place with the seven tribes and the people of the Canaanite people who have been in the promised land for many years now. And so the Lord has given this land to his children, but they have to do their part and go in and take the land. And so we look here in Joshua 10, verse 5, it says, "Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon gathered together and went up, they and all their armies, and camped before Gibeon and made war against it." Well, the Gibeonites had made a pact or an alliance with the children of Israel. And so these enemy kings, the kings of the Amorites, went up and they attacked the Gibeonites, hoping that they could thwart the attacks of the children of Israel. Well, the Lord says to Joshua in verse 8, "The Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you.'" And so the kings of the Amorites, God has said, "I'm going to deliver them into your hand." And beloved, I know that sometimes we get weak-kneed thinking about the enemies in our life, not the physical enemies, not the human enemies, but the enemies, the mountains in our life, the enemies, the strongholds of the devil in our life, the addictions, the fears that we have, the ways that the enemy works into our life and makes us want to retreat. And God says, "I have given you those enemies into your hand. They shall not stand before you. Greater is he that is in you. Greater is God that is in you than that little he that is in the world." 1 John 4:4. And so the devil, he cannot stand against you. God has given you authority over the devil, and so you need to speak that authority. You need to say, "I speak against that mountain. I speak and say to that mountain, it shall be moved out of my life." That enemy or that stronghold, that addiction, whatever it is that's tearing you up and bringing you down, you speak against it. You speak the word of God against it. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Seek ye first the kingdom of Christ and his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." All these things shall be added unto you. And beloved, when you start to speak God's word over your enemies, and you start to speak and declare and decree the word of the Lord and the plans that God has for you, your enemies will not be able to stand before you. Well, a couple of miraculous events here then happened in the battle with the kings of the Amorites. And the first one is in verse 11 in Joshua 10. The first of the miraculous events. And it says, "And it happened as they fled before Israel," that is the kings fled before Israel, "and were on the descent of Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. And so the Lord, when the children were in the battle and the enemy was fleeing from them, the Lord cast large hailstones down upon them and killed many of the enemy, even more than was killed with the edge of the sword. Well, the reason this is so fascinating to me is because several years ago, in fact, in 2013, I believe it was, I was over in Tororo, Uganda, which is over on the east side of Uganda, and I was preaching a crusade over there, did a three-day crusade in the village outside of Tororo. And before I left America, I was having a prayer meeting with some of the brothers in the prison, and we got down on our knees and we prayed for a successful crusade. That was just one of several crusades I did that summer when I was over here. And a brother from the prison, he came up to me after the prayer meeting and he said, "Jim, the Lord gave me a vision during the prayer, and in that vision you were at a crusade and the witches were coming against you. They were starting to move up towards the platform. It was a big crowd of people around the platform, and the witches were starting to move up at the altar call, and all of a sudden great hailstones came down from the sky, and it started to hit these witches on the head, and it started to knock them out, and they were knocked to the ground." Well, I said, "Okay, thank you, brother. That's a pretty amazing vision the Lord has given you." And so when I got to Tororo, I went out to the crusade ground, and we prayed over the crusade ground, prayed over the platform, and then the first day of the crusade, there was hundreds of people out there in the crowd around the platform, and we were calling the people up at the altar call. We were inviting people to come up and make a decision for Jesus and to confess him as their Lord and Savior. And so the people started to move up, and there was a worship team on the platform behind me, Sister Elictine Emanio, and as she was singing and the worship team was singing and the people were starting to come up for the altar call, all of a sudden people just started dropping down on the ground as if a big broom was just sweeping them off their feet, and it was knocking them off their feet. And several people that were moving up towards the altar call just were swept off their feet and knocked to the ground. And I was just standing up there in awe. I was in amazement, and I thought about that vision that the brother in the prison had given me, and I thought, well, that's the giant hailstones hitting these people on the head in the spirit realm, and it's knocking them down. It's just knocking them to the ground, and they aren't able to stand from the pain of the hailstones. And so I said to Elictine, I said, "Wow, God is so powerful. Do you see that?" And she was just saying, "Amen, amen, brother. God is so powerful." And so that was the first miracle of that battle with the five kings of the Amorites. And then that wasn't all. There's another one here in verse 12. It says, "Joshua spoke to the Lord that day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, 'Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon.' And so the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies." And so Joshua spoke. How many of us would have the courage or the audacity to speak, "Sun, stand still," or to say that the moon should stop? And certainly that would take a lot of courage to do that. And some would say, well, that's usurping the authority or usurping the realm of the Lord. But Joshua spoke it. And in verse 14, it tells what happened as a result of the words that he spoke. It says, "There have been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." Well, the sun stood still over Gibeon and the moon in the valley of Ajalon. And so as Joshua spoke it, the Lord heard it, and the Lord hearkened to the voice of Joshua. And it says that there was no day like it and no day after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man. Well, beloved, we thank God that God does heed our voice. He hears our voice. He hearkens to our voice. He doesn't always do the great miraculous things that sometimes we want to see or sometimes we desire. And sometimes it's good for us not to have a miracle in our life. Sometimes that's not the best thing for us. We just need to persevere, and we need to stay diligent. We need to stay faithful. And it isn't always the best thing for people to be running here and there to and fro looking for the latest miracle. Can you imagine what would happen if God granted us a miracle every time we prayed and we wanted to see a instant miracle and we wouldn't settle for anything else? Well, some people are that way. They run from church to church, or they run from conference to conference, or they run from revival to revival, and they look for a miracle. And if they're not a miracle, they get very frustrated, they get very angry at God, and so they shrink away, or they fall away from the church, they fall away from their faith. Their faith is tested to the point where they say, I want to see a miracle, or I'm not going to follow you, God. And so it's sometimes best for God not to grant a miracle, but in that case, in that miraculous day of Joshua, the sun did stand still. And so that was a great day and a great miraculous day, not only for the victory, but God also showed that he had great authority to hearken to the voice of man, and he also had great authority to control the heavenly bodies and the celestial bodies like no one else can do and no one else will ever do. Well, the parting message from the book of Joshua and one of the great scriptures in the Old Testament, I'm sure you've heard this and most people have heard it, and it is in Joshua 24, verse 13. And the Lord says to Joshua, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities for which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Well, by this time, towards the end of the book of Joshua, the children have engaged the tribes of the Canaanites, the seven tribes who inhabited the land of Canaan. The children had engaged them in many battles. Many villages had been taken. Many cities had been taken, whole regions. Not the whole country, not 100%, had been taken at this time, and some of the areas of the Promised Land were never taken. They were neglected by the children of Israel. They ran out of energy, you might say, or they ran out of desire and motivation to take 100% of the land, but most of the land had been taken, and so God is now saying to the Israelites, I have given you a land. And he's saying, you did not labor for this land, you did not build the cities, you didn't build the walls, you didn't plant the crops, you didn't plant the vineyards, and you dwell in them, you eat of the bounty of the land, and the olive groves which you did not plant. And verse 14, now therefore, says the Lord, fear the Lord, serve him with sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And so Joshua is admonishing the people, and the Lord is admonishing through Joshua. He's saying, fear the Lord, serve him with sincerity of truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river. Well, beloved, that other side of the river is back there at the Euphrates, back in Babylon, back in the day when Terah and Abram came out of Babylon, came out of that territory, and Egypt was where the people were trapped in bondage for 400 years. They were basically prisoners or basically aliens in the land of Egypt. And so Joshua is saying, fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and truth. Well, beloved, many of us come out of backgrounds where we have been in enemy territory. We've been in bondage. We've been in captivity. We've been prisoners.
And we now have an opportunity to take over the land that God has given us. We have an opportunity to eat the good fruit of the land. We have an opportunity to be blessed by the land of milk and honey. And beloved, when I sit here in Africa and think about how broken everything is here in Africa, nothing works very well here. Nothing goes as planned as you think it should or as you hope it would. You pray and you pray, and yet you see so much corruption. You see so much sexual immorality. You see so much witchcraft and pagan religions and government inefficiency and government incompetency and lack of ability to govern. No vision for the people. When I sit here in Africa and I think about the beauty of the United States of America, and I think about how a blessed nation we have come to have there in the USA, and we have the best of everything. We have the best of infrastructure, roads, bridges, highways, airports. We have the best of schools. We have the best of medical establishments, hospitals, clinics, doctors, medical colleges, dental colleges. We have the best of churches. We have the best of conferences. We have the best of everything, technology, the best of food, everything that a person could want here on this earth, everything that a person could ask for and hope for here on this earth, we have in the United States of America. And so we need to give thanks. And we need to praise God, have a heart of gratitude each day when you get up. You say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be blessed here in this country. Thank you for the freedoms that we have. I can open up a business. I can go to college and study. I can go find a different job if I want to. I can open up a farm or go buy farmland and farm. We have freedom in America to do all those things. And we eat of the blessings of those who sacrificed before we came along. We eat of the vineyards and the olive groves that others in the United States of America planted. And we didn't have to labor for it. We didn't have to shed our blood for it. Many people gave of their sacrifice. They gave of their blood. They went to foreign countries and they fought so we could have freedom in America. In World War II, hundreds of thousands of men and women of the United States of America gave up their life so we could have the freedoms in the United States of America to worship, to have the kinds of businesses that we want, to pursue the vocations and the careers that we desire, to worship where we like. All of those things come about because we are blessed and we are eating of the vineyards and the olive groves, which we did not plant. And so Joshua is saying, fear the Lord. And that's what we need to do, beloved. We need to fear the Lord. We need to understand that God can take the blessings away from us just as quickly as he has given them to us, and just as much blessing and righteousness has come upon us in America, and we did not have to labor for all of the good things that we have. So too, God can take those things away from us. He can allow the enemy to come in. And if we just depend on our horses and if we just depend on our military might, beloved, God is going to put us on our knees and the enemy will come and deal a blow to us in America that will put people on their knees. And so I say to you today, if you're listening to me today, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Serve him with sincerity. Give thanks. Serve him with truth and put away the gods. Some of you came out of pagan religions. For those of us in Africa, I see many people coming to the Lord, and they're coming out of pagan religions. They're coming out of witchcraft. They're coming out of Islam. They're coming out of Hindu religion. They're coming out of just pagan religion, worship of rocks and trees, animism. We have all kinds of pagan religions here in Africa. And I say to the Africans listening to this message over the internet, serve the Lord and fear the Lord. Serve him with sincerity and truth and put away the gods which your father served, and you will be blessed. And so Joshua wraps up his little speech here. He wraps up the encouragement that he has for the children of Israel. And he says to them here, this is a famous scripture. I'm sure all of you have heard of it.
And he says in verse 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, I can't imagine who that would be, but if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land in which you dwell. And then Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so Joshua is making a stand. He's making a confession. He's drawing a line in the sand. He's planting the flag of Jesus, or the flag of the kingdom of God, in front of all of his brothers and sisters. And he's saying, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, he's saying, go back and serve those that your father served. Go back on to the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites. But God, Joshua is saying, this is my stand. This is my confession. This is where I stand and where I believe. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And beloved, I pray that that is you today, that you're planting the flag for the kingdom of God, that you're saying, Jesus, I want to serve you. As for me and my house, if you are the head of a house, you're saying, my family is going to serve the Lord. My wife and my children are going to serve the Lord. And beloved, I know it's not easy. There are many distractions that take us away from the pursuit of God. There's many distractions that take our children, our teenage children, especially away from the plan of God. And the churches are working hard. The pastors are working hard. The leaders are working hard. But you need to do your part. If you're a leader, if you're a pastor, if you're the mother, if you're the father, if you're a teenager listening to this broadcast today, you need to do your part and say, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to take my stand for the kingdom of God. I'm not going back to the gods that my ancestors served. I'm not going back to the gods that the movie stars serve or the celebrities serve. I'm not going back to the gods that my friends at school serve or my business mates serve. I'm going to stand, and I'm going to stand for the kingdom of God, and I'm going to make my life count for the kingdom of God. Well, verse 20, Joshua wraps it up, and these are the consequences. He says, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. And so Joshua says, the same Lord that is blessing you, the same Lord that has poured out his blessings upon you and given you this land of milk and honey, the same Lord that has allowed you to take other people who are bigger and stronger than you, but you have conquered them and you have taken over their territory. Joshua says that if you forsake the Lord, he will take all these good things away from you. Just as he has blessed you, he will take them away from you, and you will suffer the consequences of your decision. Well, beloved, years ago, when I first started coming to Africa, I ministered with a man, and he had a pretty big ministry. He was a bishop over many churches, had a big church in Nairobi, children's school, and a radio broadcast. He had many things going on in his ministry, and I saw some things about him that weren't right, a lot of manipulation, a lot of control, a love of money that caused him to do things that weren't right. It caused him to make decisions that were not of the Lord, that were not good, and his love of money eventually took over his love of God. And so that man, I had to give him a prophetic warning, just like Joshua gave the people of Israel. And I gave him a warning, and I said, if you don't serve the Lord, God will take from you everything that he has given to you, and just as quickly as he gave it to you, he will take it away, and you will be without anything to be able to say, this was given to me by the Lord. Well, beloved, that prophecy came to pass. That man's church is now gone, and he lost his nice big house. Many things have changed in his life, and so God can reward you, and he wants to bless you, but just as easily and just as quickly, when you forsake the Lord and go back to the gods of the Amorites and the gods across the river, you will lose those things that God has given you. And so
Beloved, that is the warning from this message. That is the warning for today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and I pray that that is your stand today. I pray that is your calling today. As for you and your house, you will serve the Lord. Well, beloved, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for all the support over the many years, 15 years now, of these radio broadcasts. And we pray that you would consider to come along if it's your first time listening. Thank the Lord for the prayers. We thank the Lord for the support. And we invite each and every one of you to stand with us as we take the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, not only to America through this radio broadcast and the books that we have, but also to the nations of Africa and around the world. And we praise the Lord for that opportunity. And we invite you to come with us and to stand with us as we stand for the Lord. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.